"And you do?" asked Graf.
"I'm the one he assigned to think of stupid things you might do to rig the game against us and think of ways to deal with them."
"What do you think you're going to find?"
"I don't know," said Bean. "I just know that the only things we ever see are our uniforms and flash suits, our weapons and our desks. There are other supplies here. For instance, there's paper. We never get any except during written tests when our desks are closed to us."
"What would you do with paper in the battle room?"
"I don't know," said Bean. "Wad it up and throw it around. Shred it and make a cloud of dust out of it."
"And who would clean this up?"
"Not my problem," said Bean.
"Permission denied."
"That's not acceptable, sir," said Bean.
"I don't mean to hurt your feelings, Bean, but it matters less than a cockroach's fart whether you accept my decision or not."
"I don't mean to hurt your feelings, sir, but you clearly have no idea what you're doing. You're improvising, screwing with the system. The damage you're doing is going to take years to undo, and you don't care. That means that it doesn't matter what condition this school is in a year from now. That means that everybody who matters is going to be graduated soon. Training is being accelerated because the buggers are getting too close for delays. So you're pushing. And you're especially pushing Ender Wiggin."
Graf felt sick. He knew that Bean's powers of analysis were extraordinary. So also were his powers of deception. Some of Bean's guesses weren't right, but was that because he didn't know the truth, or because he simply didn't want them to know how much he knew, or how much he guessed? "I never wanted you here, Bean, because you're too dangerous."
Bean was still making his case. "When the day comes that Ender Wiggin is looking for ways to stop the buggers from getting to Earth and scouring the whole planet the way they started to back in the first invasion, are you going to give him some bullshit answer about what resources he can or cannot use?"
"As far as you're concerned, the ship's supplies don't exist."
"As far as I'm concerned," said Bean, "Ender is this close to telling you to fry up your game and eat it. He's sick of it. If you can't see that, you're not much of a teacher. He doesn't care about the standings. He doesn't care about beating other kids. All he cares about is preparing to fight the buggers. So how hard do you think it will be for me to persuade him that your program here is crocked, and it's time to quit playing?"
"All right," said Graf. "Dymac, prepare the brig. Bean is to be confined until the shuttle is ready to take him back to Earth. This boy is out of battle school."
Bean smiled slightly. "Go for it, Colonel Graf. I'm done here anyway. I've got everything I wanted here, a first-rate education. I'll never have to live on the street again. I'm home free. Let me out of your game right now. I'm ready."
"You won't be free on Earth, either. Can't risk having you tell these wild stories about battle school," said Graf.
"Right. Take the best student you ever had here and put him in jail because he asked for access to the supply closet and you didn't like it. Come on, Colonel Graf. Swallow hard and back down. You need my cooperation more than I need yours."
Dymac could barely conceal his smile. If only confronting Graf like this were sufficient proof of Bean's courage. And for all that Graf had doubts about Bean, he didn't deny that he was good at maneuver. Graf would have given almost anything not to have Dymac and Dap in the room at this moment.
"It was your decision to have this conversation in front of witnesses," said Bean.
What, was the kid a mind reader? No, Graf had glanced at the two teachers. Bean simply knew how to read his body language. The kid missed nothing. That's why he was so valuable to the program. Isn't this why we pin our hopes on these kids? Because they're good at maneuver. And if I know anything about command, don't I know this, that there are times when you cut your losses and leave the field. All right, Bean. One scan through supply inventory.
With somebody to explain to me what it all is.
I thought you already knew everything.
Bean was polite in victory. He did not respond to taunting.
The sarcasm gave Graf a little compensation for having to back down. He knew that's all it was, but this job didn't have many perks. "Captain Dymack and Captain Dapp will accompany you," said Graff. "One scan, and either one of them can veto anything you request. They will be responsible for the consequences of any injuries resulting from your use of any item they let you have."
"Thank you, sir," said Bean. "In all likelihood, I won't find anything useful, but I appreciate your fair-mindedness in letting us search the station's resources to further the educational objectives of the battle school."
The kid had the jargon down cold. All those months of access to the student data, with all the notations in the files, Bean had clearly learned more than just the factual contents of the dossiers. And now Bean was giving him the spin that he should use in writing up a report about his decision, as if Graff were not perfectly capable of creating his own spin. "The kid is patronizing me. Little bastard thinks that he's in control. Well, I have some surprises for him, too."
"Dismissed," said Graff. "All of you."
They got up, saluted, left. "Now," thought Graff, "I have to second-guess all my future decisions, wondering how much my choices are influenced by the fact that this kid really pisses me off."